opposition to the criminal codes. Probably as
business community.
Oh, by the time I get them wrapped up, they're gonna really be done.
Lobbying force than the gun control and anything else.
At least if you persuade the legislature to put it back in, it's already drafted.
Yeah. Section 11.
Receiving deposits in a failing financial institution, and this is our definition of financial institution that comes in. A person commits the crime of receiving deposits in a failing financial institution if, as an officer, manager, or other person participating in the direction of a financial institution, he knowingly receives or permits the receipt of a deposit or other investment, knowing the institution to be insolvent. And the financial institution is insolvent, the meaning of this section, when the sound value of its assets is insufficient to pay its liabilities.
Move we delete.
Isn't there a
discussion?
Federal statute like this with respect to federal banks?
Have a statute in the banking code, 711-415, that covers receiving deposits while insolvent by a bank or trust company, which is very similar to section 11.
Yeah. I'd like to make one observation, if I could, Mr. Chairman, on this section, that something has occurred since this was in the subcommittee, and that is that the Law Improvement Committee, about 6 weeks ago, authorized a revision of the banking code, and that is in the planning stages now, and the bankers actually are undertaking to finance the revision of the laws in this area, which will be under the auspices of the law. I mean, as far as the staff costs and whatnot, but the drafting would be through the Law Improvement Committee. This whole area of the law is going to be in a state of flux here within, you know, during the next 2 years anyhow. So
flux is a kind of word for this.
If the banks are financing the revision, I can guess who's going to, it'll be deleted there too.
You think, Dave, that in this case also that the creditors should be left to their civil remedies?
Absolutely.
That's what you've got for most financial institutions as far as deposits. You have sworn insurance that covers them, and they know it has to put the $20,000 here or $50,000.
Say, can I buy a piece of the action here at the law firm?
The,
is that an offer?
Section 2, there's more of a question of whether, it depends on the circumstances, whether the assets will pay up the liabilities, depending on whether it's a bank run or not and all that stuff.
Depends on how you bookkeep your assets. Do you do it with cost of actualization or firm appraised value or what?
Well, this is sound value, but I don't know what that means.
I mean, isn't this something that was written back in the Depression days?
Well, the Depression days had a lot of this problem, right?
Well, the question is now with insurance, most bank deposits, certainly you know, protect the guy who does this puts $20,000 in, he ought to.
It's based on the model penal code.
There are several sections in the present code. This one, page 26, those of you who have not had yet.
Now, we would contemplate retaining the banking laws.
Well, I think that's pretty the only place where it would be material. Be important, rather.
The criminal sections of the banking code would come out if we adopted this.
If we don't adopt this.
Well, no, if we don't adopt this, we'd certainly want to retain what we have. What's in there, I think,
But
your motion was to meet.
My motion is to get rid of it all and delete the present statute. Let's go on the same basis we do with the guy who sold the model.
You can't delete, this won't delete the present statute.
No, I know.
God, we wouldn't want to. Are you ready for the question? Motion is to delete section 11. Call the roll.
Aye.
Kim?
No.
Clark?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Knight?
No.
Spalding?
Aye.
Mr. Chairman?
No. Carried.
I think that probably this chapter is going to have to be entitled just the altering business records.
Well, we can put what's left under miscellaneous offenses.
Altering business records, bribing athletes.
Fraud and insolvency, section 12.
Move the lead.
Who are you?
What are you selling?
How much are they?
You buy one for each.
You'll take eight.
That's the challenge we had, yeah.
I'll contribute half.
Well,
I only
had a door to us by a big joke. Well, just
getting half. That's really holding on your money, isn't it?
Glued to the wall.
There it is, right? That's
a big spender.
I'm going to buy this other one.
He's got one for me.
You know where he ordered us. That right guy right there.
Hit that fellow.
I gave you yesterday.
Try the fellow there. Just keep going around the table.
I like him.
Why is it the second day always deteriorates so badly?
Well, everybody comes in selling peanuts. He doesn't want any, son, but I sure do. I've been looking for one of these all day.
There you are.
You better make sure that he's keeping it.
I don't know, I put that That kid's a resident of Malheur County.
Yeah.
I don't get any money. You'll have to get
something.
There you are.
Hey, you really
hit
the jackpot.
Yeah,
he did. They all gone.
You fellas don't have a chance, but I'll sell you one for 75 cents.
Now, that's a real business. The older kid is the YFD, and he's got the little kid who's going around doing the selling. Yeah, that's a real enterprise.
Yeah. The wholesaler to push it.
Yeah. I'm going to the staff, he's censored. I have to buy it for my own kids.
Does the staff have anything to say about section 12?
There's really not much we can say about these sections. In view of what's occurred already.
This is another model penal code recommendation, section 224.11.
I think we're really making a serious mistake in these votes.
You want to see here?
No, I think the MPC people have gone through this in great detail and are satisfied that there's a need for statutes of this kind. So I don't think we can afford to turn the small depositor in a bank over to the tender mercies of somebody who knows his institution is failing but takes his money in 2 hours before the door closes.
I agree.
And who, or we can afford to say that a court judgment means so little that if you can sneak this stuff out, it's okay. Good system, get rid of it. And I really do think that we've committed a series of errors here.
Aren't these things also covered under the first part of the article, business commercial frauds?
Well, the first part of the article, just part of the article. Pardon? All we got left is the definitions. I don't have anything else.
Well, we anticipated this wouldn't be a particularly popular article.
Well, this is a little different, though.
Our falsified business records.
But
he wouldn't falsify business records. He just withdraws the money, and the record shows that he did.
I bring in $200 to your bank this morning at 10 o'clock and deposit it, and you enter it properly in my savings book, and you enter it properly on the books of the banks, and then at 11 o'clock you say, well, we don't have enough money to pay our bills, we'll shut her down.
Well, I have no objection to it.
And that's the system we've just said was okay. Because the record is kept properly, why, that's okay. Or I get a judgment against you to pick up a car that you haven't made
the
payments on. Yes. I get a judgment against you that to pay off a car, and your lawyer says, well, get it down to Benton County. I'll never pay pick it up down there, so you can sneak the thing out.
What you're overlooking, Bob, is there's a civil remedy for all of these things.
There's a civil remedy, but who could afford to go out for a $200 deposit in the bank and sue? You guys wouldn't even let the cases be joined in the class action.
Yeah,
save a few dollars on that.
Well, with that logic, we can wipe out every act that's ever been done by a creditor or a debtor. Because
not every act, but every...
That's what you're saying.
Act in bad faith, yes.
We could say any action which costs more than $10 to collect is a crime.
No, we should say that any action that a creditor takes in bad faith to defraud the guy, to keep him from collecting his rightful due...
Is 36% a year.
I don't... That's... That, in theory, at least, the buyer has control over it. He doesn't buy at that rate and go and find someone that will sell it to him for 24% a year, or 18, or 12, or 10, or 6.
That's the competitive system.
And,
but the risk
but he's got the right. He's got the choice. That's a definite choice he made.
But in this section 12, that same risk that you're talking about, and 36% interest, neither one are present.
No.
Well, I think section 12 is legitimate.
Of course, again, Mr. Chairman, section 12, like the preceding sections, is something that up to now has not been handled criminally, except to some extent under federal statute. And again, we have to be realistic. We only have so many DAs, and we only have so many police. And if we multiply these crimes, what you're going to have is selective law enforcement.
Or you're going to have an insistence that we provide more police and more people in the district attorney's office. And I've never seen a district attorney yet who was against that.
Well, I have seen other county officials and citizens and legislators, however, who learned about vote the money for the additional prosecutors.
We've now got selective law enforcement.
Sure. We will always have selective law enforcement, but my understanding is the theory of code revision, one of the theories is to reduce that as much as you reasonably can. And you do not reduce it by adding into the criminal law things which heretofore have not been crimes.
Well, I don't think we've really done that with some of these sections. What we've done, we've attempted to incorporate a number of sections that previously were outside what we would call our criminal code that really had criminal penalties to them, and bring them over and put them under one section.
I think what Jim is saying is we have, though, to some extent, at least it's my view, that the purpose of the criminal law is to deter criminal conduct.
Or
there are different ways to deter that conduct.
Or punish it when it occurs.
What I'm getting at is when one of the ways to prevent, that we've got to acknowledge that in our society there are a lot of irresponsible people. And one of the ways to prevent crime is to put the burden on the businessman rather than to put it on the state to prevent these people from getting in a position where they can exercise their irresponsibility.
We've been passing section after section after section in this code before we got to this one, saying, well, that's a matter that's going to have to be left up to the prosecutor's discretion. And that's why I'm not really persuaded by this selective law enforcement.
Well, I think there's civil remedies. Selective law enforcement isn't the only value that you...
There's civil remedies against murder. You know, you can go out and sue them for wrongful death. And
would you equate murder with not telling an administrator on the composition of creditors that you have a washing machine that's in your neighbor's garage?
You're legislating morality.
Now, fraud and insolvency is a crime.
So we're being murdered for legislating morality. So
you're setting
them. It's immoral to murder.
The way we talk about it.
I don't know, I just think that it is a crime when a bank officer, knowing that there aren't enough assets to pay off the...
That isn't section 5, though.
Posters. that he disposes and grants preferences, I think it's a crime.
I
opened up a whole question.
It's a crime under the federal bankruptcy statutes.
Yeah.
I mean, this type of...
Is that a crime for a state bank? Under the federal statute?
If you had one receiver, you'd have a contempt proceeding.
We can't write out all the things that are involved in the federal statutes. Otherwise, we have to say in our armed robbery provision, it doesn't apply to banks that are chartered by the federal government.
Yeah, but the point is, there isn't other remedies here. The appointment of a receiver, it's condemned.
There are other remedies for, I say, almost everything.
Well, contempt is a pretty good remedy, you know.
I watched the telly shows on Mr. Kunstler and so forth, and I'm not so sure that contempt is Mr. Murtaugh in New York, and I'm not sure so contempt is...
Ted Redding didn't have any trouble day before yesterday.
He did yesterday, though.
Yeah, but he did yesterday.
That's a different matter. That's an escape. When you do a contraband.
Oh, some guy.
I don't want him.
Grab the cops.
You know, you'd send him someplace else.
But Don, those statutes you're talking about apply only to banks.
That's right.
This is talking about a credit rolling. The debtor is about to go belly up.
Well, what I'm saying is that this just, if you delete this, all we're doing is extending our action the last 3 or 4 seconds. We're just moving on.
I agree.
And it's consistent. And I think we're wrong all the way. I think we're wrong this time.
Well, have we got a motion on this?
Yeah,
we got a motion.
We shouldn't have any, but I'm taking one.
Any further discussion? The motion is to delete section 12. All those in favor will answer aye if the names are called. Those opposed will say no.
Burns?
Aye.
Carson?
Aye.
Chan?
No.
Clark?
Aye.
Frost?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Baldy?
Aye.
Knight?
I abstain.
Motion carried. Section 12, I believe. Roger, section 13.
Well, this misapplication of trusted property, rather long statute. Section 2 is definitions.
13.
I'll just read subsection 1. A person commits the crime of misapplication of entrusted property if, with knowledge that the misapplication is unlawful and that it involves a substantial risk of loss or detriment to the owner or beneficiary of such property, he intentionally misapplies or disposes of property that has been entrusted to him as a fiduciary or that is property of the government or a financial institution. And then we define fiduciary and what we mean by misapplies.
Pages 35 and 36 of the commentary, a long list of...
I'll move it after
13. Well, your fiduciary definition, your guardian, executor, administrator are all bonded for this very purpose, and that's why they are bonded.
Not necessarily a trustee.
Trustee probably is not.
I am not bonded, I'm a guardian.
I don't think this simply gives a civil remedy. What is it?
It doesn't cover citizens by anyone.
Somebody turns
it. The court hasn't done its job.
How much of this would be covered under embezzlement?
For the judgment.
Wouldn't most of this be covered under embezzlement?
I would think so.
I mean, of course, in embezzlement, you got to show he converted to his own.
Yeah, and here, this is just a misapplication, which may or may not go as far as a deprivation of the
owner. So, I don't bail anything.
Well, we're trying to take in the state treasurer.
It's quite a bit of a commentary.
If he invests in different types of stocks and he's allowed to and move from any of these.
Well, I think the law has always put a very high level of duty upon the fiduciary. I'm basically going to put in these other provisions.
I know.
The reason that I think you're opening a floodgate, but I don't think this opens a floodgate.
I think it falls in the same basket with all the rest of it.
Certainly,
these areas are already covered. Again, it's a civil remedy.
Well, of course,
unless it's embezzlement for no use, in which case it's presently a crime.
The intention in this and several other things is to. There are several purposes in law revision. One is to get a whole bunch of junk into one statute instead of having specific special statutes all the way down the line for every school clerk and every this, that, and the other thing down the country.
This section, very adequate description of this.
This section covers a wide range of existing statutes, so this is not basically new law.
Very few of them are criminal. You look, there are
as did section
1/3 of the entire section is actually criminal. The rest of them are
as did section 11.
Counties,
and 10
cities.
There's trustee, agent, attorney, broker, banker, employee, or merchant, and so forth. Those are all criminal sections.
Yes, as I say, 1/3 are existing or criminal sections. But embezzlement, what we're looking for is the guy that sticks in his pocket and walks off. Now that's presently a crime, that's embezzlement.
We're looking for the
bonded for most of them.
We're looking for the school clerk, too, who puts the money from a bond issue into a checking account with a side arrangement with a bank. The bank, because of all this, and they don't have to pay any interest on it, will loan the school clerk $100,000 to go into land development business.
That's
one of them.
I don't see where that's clear in the second.
Not only that the misapplication is unlawful and that it involves a substantial risk of loss.
Or as 162.640.
Well, how about the person who is a trustee who is child and. Rejunkle has left money for the child, and you're the trustee, and you stick it into your business, or you stick it into money, maybe you don't have a direct benefit in it.
Well, I say, this is the thing that one of the things brought up. I need guardian for my own children, a number of things, and the court's system of seeing that I'm able to, that I am protecting it, and that I'm able to, completely inadequate.
Well, the guardian
the
worst one is the trustee. He's under no court system.
Now, here our culpability on it. We tightened this up in the subcommittee. Originally, we said if with knowledge that it was unlawful or that it involved a substantial risk of loss, and we changed that to require both. So you have to show both before you could convict a violation of this section.
Well, you can take, for example,
yes?
I don't have that much of a objection to this.
So you move to approve it. Call the question.
Yep. It's been called for the question. Call the roll.
Bing.
Aye.
Chandler.
Aye.
Clark.
Aye.
Ross.
No.
Johnson.
Aye.
Knight.
Aye.
Spaulding.
Aye.
Mr. Chairman.
Aye. We finally got Frost down to normal.
Now, could we go back and consider some of those old sections? Now that we got these fellows straightened around and on the right track.
14.
14, Mr. Chairman.
This restates existing Oregon law. Requires an intent to defraud. A person knowingly makes or utters a written statement which purports to describe the financial condition or ability to pay of himself or some other person and which is inaccurate in some material respect.
Is there a civil remedy?
Well, the
office and bank special interest legislation. I will be the lead check.
Well,
I really think you want to check the thing before he issues the
what?
We kept the limit the pay money process all three.
Oh, no.
It's consolidated in our theft, as part of our theft.
Isn't that covered what we're talking about here? The issuing of the false token, which can be a financial statement?
Well, this of course would get it before you actually get the money. And that you have to get the money. And hide it out of the judgment and do all those other
things. This is a restatement, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Pretty much of one of the ones under chapter 165, yes.
We've already got a motion to delete.
There
one? Yep.
Okay,
I did.
Question? This motion is to delete. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
No. Defeated. Now we have a motion by Mr. Spaulding to approve. All those in favor say aye.
Well, just out of curiosity, if I may, sir, is this covered by, Don, what was the section?
Chapter 165.
False statement.
Well, this doesn't require the completion of it. You don't have to get anything to violate
the
section.
If you give it, haven't you committed the inchoate crime, at least, of attempt to obtain money, property, or false pretenses, whatever you call it? Fraud, deception?
An attempt at theft, you mean?
Yeah. We're restating. Are we getting ourselves into a perky situation? We've got a choice for prosecutor as to the greater.
There comes perky. But we finished it well.
My only point is that we've already got it, why put it in again? This is the bank's pet and the finance company's pet.
Anybody care to move to reconsider your last vote?
Don?
Take the opposite side in my vote.
Well, I don't think there's a perky problem here, frankly, but I do think that that it could be prosecuted as an attempt at theft by deception.
Why not do it that way then? Why have a separate crime?
It's a lot simpler this way.
Yeah.
It's simpler this way because you get away from that substantial step problem that you'd have
and
to show on your intent.
Showing that the person had the intent to convert to his own use. I guess you'd still have to show up here though with the intent to fraud.
And you create a lot of work for district attorneys and police.
Question.
Call the roll on approval.
Aye.
Aye.
Clark?
No.
Brock?
No.
Johnson?
Aye.
Nye?
Aye.
Spaulding?
Aye.
Mr. Chairman?
Aye.
You guys do a lot of talking.
Section 15.
Well, if you didn't mess with it, exactly.
Obtaining execution of documents by deception. This also requires an intent to defraud or injure another or to acquire a substantial benefit. Obtained by means of fraud, deceit, or subterfuge, the execution of a written instrument affecting or purporting to affect the pecuniary interest of any person.
Is there a civil remedy?
Yes, there is. Act of,
huh?
Practice of that.
There is.
You know, it's a funny thing. I was just looking through this list of all the people that are following statutes related to fraudulent and deceptive practices and obtaining professional license certificates, architect, professional engineers, accountants, psychologists, physicians, nurses, podiatrists, optometrists, naturopaths, masseurs, but not lawyers. Funeral directors, plumbers, hearing aid dealers.
You know, Chandler, before you get through, we're going to require a license for anyone to own or publish or edit a newspaper.
In bed.
Yeah, I mean, read the Constitution. State and federal. There he goes, wrapping himself up the American flag.
Yeah. All right, do you want to say something, staff?
Before we go to the delete.
Well, really, this is an odds and ends type of section. We felt we could recommend most of these that you listed could be repealed, couldn't they, Roger?
Yes. Well, we thought it was needed because of the property concept would exclude obtaining a lot of the benefits that we're talking about in Section 15. Many of them, of course, are not too...
Well, that's a substantial benefit or not.
Important, but the state does have an interest in all of them, as, for example, non-resident hunting licenses, where people quite often are in the state for a short period of time will allege to be a resident, so they don't have to pay as much money
for a gun
license.
The thing is, this doesn't affect any of the list of Bob Red, the plumbers and so on.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't affect it. So it doesn't report to affect the key areas.
Sure.
You get a plumber's license?
Oh, sure. Plumber's license is just
more than a start to
make. Make more money from it.
I'm sitting around and wondering where I would leave that one.
Their day will look pretty attractive.
So anything that has even an indirect pecuniary benefit or affects the key area interest of any person is going to be covered by this. In any way. We're back to a very good. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to put up with the comments of the Attorney General.
What's the motion?
No, you do not.
What did you say?
What's the motion?
I move we approve Section 15.
You've heard the motion. Is there any further discussion?
I'm still not sure what it does.
It essentially dictates a lot of existing law elsewhere and has a few little odds and ends.
Like those sections we've just been voting down.
Well, it says you just can't fraudulently fill out forms?
Yeah.
You can't to defraud or injure some kind of thing.
Or to gain a substantial benefit to yourself. Third party.
Oh,
call roll on approval.
Burns.
Aye.
Chandler.
Aye.
Clark.
Aye.
Ross.
No.
Johnson.
Aye.
Knight.
Aye.
Bobby.
Aye.
Mr. Chairman.
Aye.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, I move we retitle this article, Phoning Business Records, Sports Bribing, and Obtaining Execution of Documents by Deception. That's all that's left in it.
Oh, no, we the last few sections.
We'll
direct the staff to form an appropriate title for the article.
I move adoption of the article as amended.
I don't think we ever actually approved...
We didn't at 5.
The definition.
Section 1.
You still have that question on your
benefit.
Oh, yeah. Well, you don't need the word pecuniary benefit.
No, hell no. We don't need any definitions anymore.
Well, what we'll have to do, we'll conform the definitions to the sections that are left.
With that instruction, let's move the adoption of the article.
All right. You've heard the motion. Call roll. As amended.
Call roll as amended.
Aye.
Chandler.
Aye.
Clark.
Aye.
Ross.
Okay.
Johnson.
Aye.
Knight.
No.
Bobby.
Aye.
Chairman.
Aye.
I'll change my vote.
You give in fight.
What's that?
I don't
know.
There's a lot.
Now, John.
Yeah.
No. We're through, aren't we?
Well, we're through. Again, we have other articles we can slip in. But I hate to do that.
No.
But we do have some other items. If we've got time, I'd like to discuss this printing situation.
Well, let's first discuss the next meeting. Don tells me that in another 2-day session, we can complete the substantive.
Provided the second day is more productive than today.
Well, I don't know. We did pretty good. And he suggests, because of the time factors involved, we still have the grading to do, April 3 and 4. How does that sound?
It's Friday and Saturday.
That's a Friday and Saturday.
Better than Wednesday and Thursday.
Amen.
Yeah, I couldn't make the second day.
Saturday evening?
No, I couldn't. He originally called to set aside a secondary.
Well, would the third and fourth be all right with everyone? All right, then we'll
I can't
be
doing any problems on the fourth.
For everybody, at least could we talk about a couple other things?
All right, now
the agenda.
You can go ahead and talk.
In connection with the what's left, here's what we do have left now. We have obscenity and related offenses, which is ready for action by the commission. The draft on gambling offenses, and then we'll have to, in Judge Byrne's subcommittee, we'll have to get a meeting set to work on the firearms draft in accordance with the action yesterday of the commission.
Before April 3 and 4?
Well, it would be nice to be able to bring all those articles back in at the same time, because that would take care of our crimes, except for some miscellaneous offenses that we may pick up as we go along here through this special subcommittee on grading, trying to...
Can't we... Well, what about having a subcommittee meet on Thursday afternoon, plan to run Thursday afternoon and evening?
Our subcommittee did that about six times, and I can tell you, I'm kidding.
That really isn't going to work out as well, because you're so wrung out by the end of that second day.
Yeah, but if our subcommittee isn't through, there's no use having a full commission meeting. Isn't that the only thing that's left in subcommittees?
No, we've got obscenity for the commission to act on, and gambling, too.
Yeah, but those are all done by the subcommittee.
Yeah, those are done, right.
Do we have offense against the family?
And offenses against the
family. Oh, excuse me. Yeah, we have offenses against the family now that has been approved. Yeah, I had that list under subcommittee, but it's been approved by the subcommittee now. So we've actually got three drafts. One other draft there, right.
Well, on this firearms, if you can't get the full subcommittee together, why don't you get as many as you can and at least draft something for that meeting?
How long a meeting are you talking for? About
a week?
2 days.
On the firearms. I can substitute.
We've got all four members of our subcommittee here today. I don't know about that.
What about meeting on Friday the 27th?
Is that next Friday?
Yeah. Week from this coming Friday.
Week from tomorrow.
Yeah.
That cuts pretty short for you, John.
Well, it did.
When do we take up things?
We can, yeah, we've got our basic draft there. It's just a matter of the gun control part of it that we'll have to draft. We can have that.
Why don't we shoot, what about this, the afternoon of Friday the 27th for the subcommittee?
We've got a trial starting the 26th, that's probably going to be. How about Saturday? 28.
Well, maybe we could get together with the subcommittee after we adjourn and before they leave today and work that out.
Do our trick. Do it by telephone. Get a conference call.
Well, it won't quite work on this kind of thing because we've got too many primary decisions to make on it, I think. I mean, there it worked because it was just a matter of looking at some amendments.
And it worked that I was out of town.
But that conference call was a good deal.
Yeah, it worked out good.
Save a lot of time.
If we didn't meet Chandler in Spain.
But we couldn't reach you. But, Mr. Chairman, there was one other item I did want to bring up to the commission, and I don't know if this is a particularly good time since we don't have all the members here, but I wanted to bring to the attention of everybody this question of printing of our final draft and what this is going to entail and what we're going to be involved in financially. And
we're going to have to dig up.
Well, we have budgeted now in our budget $5,000 for printing of our which was intended to go towards printing of our final tentative draft. And well, I can have about 1,000 copies printed for that amount of money. It's going to run about $5 per copy. And that's a draft with commentary, but without the blue sheets like we have now. We don't intend to put any of that in our draft. But we do want to retain our commentary, but we do plan to pare it down in some instances if we can do so without destroying any of the... We certainly don't plan to take anything out that the commission is specifically directed to be in the commentary or anything like that. But
does the state printer print it?
How about charging for them?
Well, that's one of the things I wanted to bring up, the possibility.
He's going to pay for it.
Anybody who wants one.
The banks won't. Well, it's not after a day.
Now, I have some, I have an estimate.
Insurance companies don't want them anymore.
I have an estimate from the state printer on this. 1,000 copies. Now, this would be on an 8.5 by 11 size. And it would come to approximately 192 pages plus the cover. And the type style would be similar to the Michigan draft. We would have the text of our sections double spaced, however, and but the commentary would be single spaced and in a double column. And the cost there for 1,000 copies would be $5,200. And this is, I might add, with them doing the composition. 2,000 copies would run $5,800.
We're going to get 5,000.
Right. And 3,500 copies would run $6,650. Now, I asked for three different estimates here because I was trying to look at it from the standpoint of the minimum number of copies that I felt we should have in any event. Which I felt would be 1,000 copies.
How many members of the active members of the audience bar?
Well,
3,500.
And all want a free one.
It's almost 3,500. But
well, I'm not too sure. Any sizable number of members of the bar would be asking for a copy of the tentative
draft. Well, what's the commentary though? This is in the commercial code when it came out. That little gray book is very valuable because it tells you someplace else you find.
College universities will want a whole slug of them.
Everybody down in Chicago will want 20 copies apiece.
Well, I think you're going to have to provide some free copies. But,
yeah.
But
I was wondering.
Decide on your free list and then say they're available to anybody else that I wouldn't charge.
You were wondering what?
Well, I was wondering about what. About the possibility of, say, surveying the members of the bar, sending a questionnaire, say, each of them, you know, whether they would want, whether they would want a copy, and if they'd be willing to pay X amount of money for it.
I wonder if you can get the bar office to put that in some other mailing that's going out.
You can even put in the bar bulletin. I don't know how many.
Well, you know, all the big jabbers out of the bar here starting another week or so, I suppose. Two statewide judgeships or four or something like that, and that's all on between now and primary.
But because of the high cost of these things, I hate to send them to members of the bar who really aren't interested in them, but at the same time, I want to make sure that everybody who does want one gets one.
Can he run 1,000 and then another 1,000 later?
No, it wouldn't cost you double because it wouldn't have a type setup charge, but.
To set up for another run would run.
The set up for the other run and the wash up between and so forth. You need 1,000 press runs.
How many? Call Jim Huntland and ask how many you are. We just made a circulation to the bar plus our free list. Some of the groups' opinions.
But I can't hear you.
Usually that's a blessing.
Well, you cut it down a lot because the list was somehow cut down. We didn't send every. I don't think we sent every lawyer.
You see, every officer.
Don, why don't you contact Holloway and find out whether or not you can circularize the bar with one of their mailings, and then include in the state there what this is going to cost and ask them.
Only have it for $5 a head.
If they'd be willing to, if they'd be interested in having one at X dollars.
There's one other consideration here, too, I think we ought to keep in mind, and that is this, that I know that your office, Lee, and I was contacted by the CLE committee of the bar, and they're interested in looking into this with the idea of trying to prepare a CLE session on the code. And I haven't heard anything further from him, although I did send him an outline of, give him an idea of how many articles would be involved and the approximate size of it. But if the CLE is planning a session on this, they would undoubtedly want to print up their own draft of some sort.
I mentioned this to a couple of the committee members here that I've been keeping the CLE people kind of posted, but one of the questions that we have is, that they have, is they would want to do undoubtedly a session on a new criminal code. And of course, they want to know when the thing would become effective, assuming.
Yeah, they don't want to hold a session, what they told me. They don't want to hold a session until after it's been passed.
Well, yeah, but what they're thinking about, of course, is if it passes and there's a it's made effective, say, 6 months or a year or whatever, effective at some future date, so that they can hold their session in between, like probate, for example. And I don't know, I haven't been able to tell them, I don't know what the committee's feeling or what the legislature's feeling will be on that question. But from the standpoint of making it work by having the lawyers educated on the new code, I think it's quite important that consideration be kept in mind.
The session will be very simple. He was talking, check their civil revenues.
Yeah, now I don't know how the legislature would feel about that. And we talked about this at the very inception of our work on this project as to what kind of effective date we might want to recommend to the legislature. Whether you'd want to give it a year before it became effective, or have it run even, say, 2 years before it became effective.
5,200 for 1,000. 5,800 for 2,000, 6,200 for 3,000.
3,000.
6,600.
You got
some of those wrong.
So what's the status of the committee that's on sentence?
Is it 6,200 for 3,000 or 3,500? 6,800. 6,650. 6,650 for 3,500?
Chairman, what's the status of the committee on sentencing? What's the
status of the committee? You mean whether we start any work or...
Yeah.
No, we plan to have a meeting go in April, first part of April.
I look at bids, and you're not going to get any cheap. I don't think it's a relatively small run and under any circumstances, a tremendous amount of composition and make ready time. I take somebody with a good sized magazine press or something so they can print 8 or 10 pages at a time and then fold them and gather.
Well,
but it's going to cost you $5.20 a piece for the first 1,000 copies. It's only going to cost you 80 cents a piece for the next 1,000 copies and 60 cents a piece for the next 1,500 copies. And I think, I don't know what the procedure is or anything else, but I think you'd be making a terrible mistake if you were forced to stop at 1,000 copies.
I do too.
Or anything short of 3,500 copies, really. This is,
of course, the thing to do is to give out a month and free start with and then start charging.
Now this is going to be a tentative draft. What's going to be the cost when we have the final draft?
Well, of course, when it changes in it, why it won't be too, it'll cost you about...
what will happen, though?
This is the tentative draft. I mean, it's our final draft.
Yeah.
We're sending it to the legislature.
The only thing that would, any changes that would be made, then would be reflected in the bill that's prepared through the Legislative Council's office. That would really be the final draft.
As far as we're concerned.
We wouldn't have to worry about that.
We don't have to worry about that.
No, that would be printed as a legislative bill. And, without the commentary, of course, but...
I don't know what you've done in looking into the possible market for these things, but I would guess that before you got through that you're going to have requests from people you've never heard of and never thought of.
Well, I it certainly seems to me that I just can't imagine that there aren't 300 to 500 lawyers throughout the state who would be willing to pay $5 for the.
I think they're more than that.
But not.
Not initially, though.
Well, if you got 300 lawyers that are willing to pay the 350 lawyers willing to pay $5 a piece for it, why then you can afford to go for the $66.50. That'll add enough to your present budget, your present $5,000 budget. Plus that amount would be enough to print $3,500.
Certainly seems to me that over a space of a year's time, that you get at least that many of the buy.
I certainly think so. Of course, the large offices, you can't count on one for every attorney because they just wouldn't have them. But I think 500 would, certainly.
Well, if 500 do and you only charge $5, you got enough money there.
Well, that's what I say. I think you should contact
just don't be sure you don't give any to any attorneys.
And send this out with a...
everybody else.
A questionnaire.
Send the lawyers and the law schools and the... Don't give any attorneys. Make them pay the $5 and then you got made.
Banks and insurance companies?
Oh, yeah. Banks, insurance companies, finance companies, collection agencies, justices of the peace, all those people.
You're bitter.
No, I'm not bitter, but that's the way to get the money. Because none of those people are going to pay for it.
Well, I'm not so sure that they're not.
100 lawyers will, too.
One
over
thing
a tentative draft of something that they will expect to later get the final draft on, just they're not interested in criminal law, 90% of them aren't.
But your office would have to have one in the library.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, our when it's printed up, it'll be labeled as our final draft. Mm-hmm. I mean, for final study draft. The bill may differ.
Commentary.
I'm not saying it isn't a good buy, but I can just say we're going to pop lawyers and you're $5.
There's going to be a continuing demand for the commentary once it's adopted. And I think we're going to find in the first 6 months maybe you haven't had any orders, but once the thing is passed and it's the only place to find the commentary, you need a lot of orders.
I do too.
We have to have it quite frankly. Well, we put more law in the commentary than we have in the draft.
Well, not really.
Several
no. We only could get them minutes in there, too.
No, we'll save those for the next campaign. Isn't that what you said?
Interesting question. Why should the district attorneys get them free and the attorneys have to pay for them, the other defense counsel?
Well, because the district attorney's got to persuade the county court that they need them and it's such a tough job.
Because it's really the state supplying the state.
In the whole process of justice, the defendant is just as important as the state.
And we have to pay.
Not necessarily.
We don't provide a policeman for the defendant.
You have to pay for the ORS for the policeman. Well, the county has to pay X number of dollars per copy for that ORS.
Yeah, if they can read.
The ones
that can read, that's right.
The state supplies the DAs with the ORS, one copy of the ORS, and with one set of the Oregon.
Well, I think what I would do, we have a free list that we send to.
Sure.
Now, the copies go to the library and they in turn circulate, certainly. And we've just cut it down substantially.
Yeah, I see the new.
Now for our preliminary report, now we had 500 copies of that printed, and we distributed that to all members of the legislature, all the circuit judges, all the district attorneys, all sheriffs, and probably a dozen of the major chiefs of police in the state, other offices like the ACLU and the public defender and the National Council on Crime Delinquency, and all these. Plus, we had to supply 25 copies to the state library, and then I sent numerous copies to other state agencies too. And we still have probably 25 copies left. But it was a little different situation there, obviously. Because
the first question is how many were printed, right?
Off the personal list.
I would think so too.
The second is, we charge for it when you pass it out as yes.
Have to get the 66
right. So we charge $5 a copy, and
Or maybe 550.
And these requests from other states, most of them are willing to pay for these things. If, you know,
well, charge
the other state libraries and whatnot. They'll, in fact, they send inquiries about our preliminary report, and they inquire as to what the cost is. But
well, the only thing, reason I'd make the point on attorneys or somebody else, I think you're going to have to delineate your classes of people who will get free copies, and the only real possible sale in any large number to get this is $1,700 you got to come up with is lawyers.
That's right.
You really just, that's the only people you can charge. You can go out to charge the chief of police and they won't buy it. And you go out to charge the district attorneys in the 36 counties and they won't buy it.
I'll bet you they'd talk the county courts into getting $5. I don't think they'd be without it.
Well, I mean, it's the same thing. If you're not going to supply the judges, don't supply us.
No, I think they should be. Get a hold of Johnson's free list.
You got to give it to the district judges and the circuit judges and the district attorneys and the sheriffs.
There's my bunch for everybody you can get it out of.
Well, that lets the newspapers out, that's all.
Newspapers shouldn't get them free.
You want us to really lobby against this thing?
Why in the hell should they get it free? I just don't see it.
I get the bank all fired up.
Huh?
Okay, now it...
Do you have enough guidance?
Yes,
if you got a thousand you got to give to Dave Dunaway, why, you know, 3 years from now, well, that's...
Yeah, as far as the format and layout and whatnot, I suppose we can discuss that at a later date, but, I'd like to know the views of the majority of the commission as far as the printing style and format. And
well, it would be helpful if you printed the same way that the commercial films printed.
But you really want a big picture on the front of it of a guy driving a car across the California state line.
With a refrigerator on a trailer.
Quite a section for photographs of the members of the commission, though.
For 80 pages. What are you running for?
I don't remember anything about the guy.
That's why they could sell a lot of copies is if they had the cover page being pictures of the acts no longer crimes by.
Of course, this would include a foreword to it, a background commentary on the commission and whatnot, you know, general introductory remarks.
It seemed to me you ought to follow the Michigan.
The Michigan style was pretty darn good, and the New York was good, and the ALI was good. Any of them would be satisfactory. You've got to set aside what you're proposing as a statute in one style, and then what you say about it.
I like the Michigan format.
Any one of them.
Right, except that, like I say, this would be on standard size. Same size as our preliminary report, rather than this. This is kind of an offbeat size.
Well, I'll tell you something about that size. The 8.5 by 11 just doesn't fit in an awful lot of library shelves. They aren't that far apart. Most books you know are not much higher than 9 inches.
Well, they can keep this on the desk.
But the UCC came out in standard size, and the probate code, and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
So it's a
plus for the day. That's the first one you withdrew. I thought of several other.
I want you and Frost. You and Frost shake hands before you leave.
I will if you give me back my suitcase.
Oh, that's right. What'd you do with your suitcase?
I got to borrow a razor this morning.